time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
Today, Thursday. My, this week is rolling right along. I have to get my earphones here. So, I listen. I have one good ear, and I can't find my good ear sometimes. James Anderson, my guest today. James, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Charlie. How are you?
All right, yeah. Not bad. as long as my oxygen holds out, I'm in good shape. But James Anderson is the head of the Marion County Park District and keeps that all in order and promotes it and works hard. And James will be at the Marion County Fair next week.
Oh, yes.
Ooh. So, okay. Now, what are your thoughts on what you need to show people at the fair?
So we just like to show people anything that you can find outside in the state of Ohio, Marion County. That's from our skulls to our furs to, of course, we always like to bring we have a bucket of fake poop.
Oh, yeah.
So kids just love that.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, our publications of, like, the Tallgrass Trail map and our nature programs and pamphlets about our park. So just to show people that, we do exist. So.
Okay, yeah. And that would be at the Marion County Fair. Your location,
We're going to be right by the grandstands again.
Oh, you okay.
That yep.
You see, last year you were on the trail.
Yeah, we were right by the grandstands
right,
last year.
Right.
So we're basically in the same spot
okay.
as last year.
All right.
So, yeah, if you're bored, come and visit us. We will usually have some type of nature game or activity or craft. So you can do that with your little ones, and it's free. So, yeah.
Wow. Hey, will you show people ticks?
Well, sure. We can find them all kinds of ticks.
I was going to bring my ticks today, and I forgot. I've had a couple of ticks on me there. The adult male dog tick.
Oh, yeah, the dog tick.
Yeah.
Yep.
The teeny weeny.
They are. I actually had one on my stomach that was attached the other day.
Oh,
my
really?
My wife had to get the tweezers out.
Ooh, yeah. I keep wanting to. I have no way of finding out if I got any others on me, but I found both of them are crawling around my neck.
Oh, yeah. And then once you find one, you get that heebie-jeebie feeling, then you feel like you have more.
Oh, my land,
yes. I always hate that.
Oh, I do, too. I reach it all around. Do I have any more? But they're so small.
Yeah, they are.
And so I got out my book on ticks right away and found out what they were and... They're capable of passing along Lyme disease, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yep, Lyme disease. I think yellow spotted fever.
Wow.
I'm trying to think. I know there's a couple other diseases that ticks can carry.
Yellow spotted fever, that would be... I don't know if anyone around here has ever had it or not. But
there was one person from OSU, a professor, who got it. But it wasn't from, they don't think it was from Marion. They think he did research in Indiana, which is where he was.
Yes,
they were found there. But then he came to Marion, and then, of course, he was starting to feel sick, and then they found out he had that disease.
Oh, and it's fatal, is it?
It can be, if not treated.
Okay.
But it was funny, he kept telling the doctors, this is what I have, because he said, I'm a microbiologist. Of course, the doctors didn't want to agree, but then they did their test, and they're like, yeah, sure enough, you have it. So they were able to treat him and find. But they had to close that prairie area there at OSU for a while, because I did a program for the kids, and we were supposed to do a nature hike there at the prairie, but then because of that incident, they weren't allowing anybody and allow hiking in there. Now, it's open now, but that was, what, a year or two ago. Yeah.
You know, in that prairie back there, I once made shingles, maybe more than once.
Oh, okay.
And the one time was on a Saturday during the Ohio State football game.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm making shingles out there and talking to kids and adults, and all of a sudden everybody disappeared.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the only one there. And I thought, what's going on? And then I found out the game started.
Oh, yeah. I've got to love the OSU football.
Oh, my. Football is ahead of everything.
Yes, that it is. That it is.
Yeah. And so it's interesting back there. And then when you're back here, you think of all the little creepy crawlies that naturally would be around in an area like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So is there any advice for people when they go out in the wide open spaces about how to avoid ticks?
Yeah, so what I always recommend people, try avoid tall grassy regions. That's obviously a really good place, but ticks can be on top of treetops. If you know that, you know, there's a lot of ticks in the area, you may want to consider wearing pants, long socks. I know it's not appropriate when it's really hot out, but if you got to choose, you want ticks or do you want to be real hot? So, and also too, just, I always tell people right after, like when we do any of my nature programs, just always check for ticks. I mean, look from head to toe. And like I said, I found one on my stomach the other day. So.
Wow. Yeah. And I noticed too, both times that I found a tick, I had been working along my fence row and taller weeds.
Yep.
And they say, hey, look right ahead of us. There's that guy.
Yeah.
Jump.
So, yeah, they can sense, they can smell mammals or other warm-blooded animals. And then they have these hooks at the end of their arms, and then that's how they attach themselves to fur or clothes or things like that.
See, how many legs do they have? Is it?
They're arachnids, so they have, let's see. Yeah, they have eight.
Eight, okay. Yeah. And they're so small. Now, there are larger ticks.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's different species of ticks. And then, of course, how long has it been feeding? Because the female, she'll grow, I think, two or three times larger if she's on for a while.
Wow.
And she can feed on an animal for quite some time, and then she could stay full for several weeks.
My land. Yeah, they're so small. They wouldn't have to eat much to stay full.
No.
But that isn't. I mean, we talk. Yeah, it's a major thing out there. But let me tell you about something else that has been in the news the last couple or 3 days. I campaigned, I don't know how many years, about, we talk about all the poisonous things in life.
Yeah.
And yet, growing along our roads are all these poisonous weeds.
Oh, yep, poison hemlock and hemlock. Wild parsnip.
That's right. Now, the hemlock, I can smell it. It has a scent. And I could ride my bicycle, I could close my eyes and tell you right where the hemlock is.
Yes, yep.
And it's something you really don't want to go out and touch.
No.
I mean, the juice in it might be harmful.
Yeah, so it's not like poison ivy, you know, how when you contact with the leaf and then it makes it itchy. Well, for poison hemlock and for wild parsnip, it has to be ingested somehow. So through your eyes, your mouth, if you had a cut on your arm or body, the toxins have to basically get into your system.
Now, the hemlock has a white flower. It can be very tall.
Yeah,
4 feet tall.
I'm 6'5", and it can get over 7 feet tall.
Okay, all right. But then the other, is that the one with the yellow?
Yes, that's wild parsnip.
Okay.
Again, kind of like poison hemlock. It's when the sap, and it's usually when you're weed eating. That's when the most trouble happens, and then it touches your skin, and it actually has chemical properties that actually deteriorates and destroys skin cells at a microscopic level, and it can be harmful for a lot of people. But I've had friends that have had it, and they said it feels like a burning sensation, and it's awful.
Oh, interesting. But so today on the way in here, I saw both growing rather profusely all along the highway.
Well, reason why you're seeing a lot right now this year, because of all this rain, they're kind of water-loving weeds. They've been enjoying this all this water, and then because it's been so wet, it's been hard to get out there and mow, so it's perfect condition for these poisonous plants, and of course, then they're thriving, and they're actually... In most cases, there's nothing much you can do. I mean, you can weed whack, but they've already been seeded, and they're going to be coming That's out for right. next year.
They'll be there next year, yeah. Very interesting. Like I say, we talk about all the poisonous things in life.
Yeah.
While we ignore something really rather close.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Okay. So, now I take it there is some growing out along the trail.
Yes, I will make up that there is some. So as long as you stay on the trail, you'll be fine.
And that's one of the things that you do so effectively is educate people as to what's what.
That's right. That's right. We tried to talk about edible, medicinal, and poisonous plants.
That's right. And somebody asked me or wanted me to ask you, I don't know who it was, ask James, how many species of bats are there?
Oh, there's 12.
12?
12 species that either are regulars or migrate through.
So there you are, listener, whoever you are. He knew 12, a dozen species of bats.
You know, it's funny you speaking of that. No. The Indiana bat and the long-eared bat, yeah. They're endangered species in the state of Ohio. And we have to follow the Endangered Species Act with Tallgrass Trail. So we can't cut trees down at a certain time. It's usually about October to about end of March when we are allowed to, because that's when the bat nesting season is over. But then after usually the end of March, then we can't cut them down because the bats could be back.
Now, what's interesting to me is, what if we eliminated all the bats? Well, I've got a phone call coming in. Just a second. Caller, go ahead.
Do you have your oxygen set just right?
Yeah.
Because it was me that asked that I was going to call in and ask.
Okay, I got the thing that it was bat. You, yeah.
Is that Terry Klein?
Yes, it is.
Hi, yeah. Terry, how are you?
So that we have 12 species of bat in Ohio.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
Now, I noticed the one that was in the house about a month ago. It seemed as though under...
Hey, Terry, hang on. I got a break coming up. Stay where you are, and you'll talk to Terry, or talk to James in just a moment. But we need to do a break right now, I do believe.
Hey, Ted, what's the best part about being so well-known?
Well, meeting all kinds of new people, you know, taking pictures and signing autographs.
That's great. What's the worst part?
That after selling a 500,000 autographs, I've got the worst case of carpal tunnel syndrome since John Hancock.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Three, two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts... You can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Okay, we're back once again. Oh, Terry is back with us. Okay,
yeah,
Terry,
is
the subject is bats.
This is on a live mic, right?
Yes.
We all heard what happened last night, so...
What happened last night?
On that debate that they had, they switched from somebody, and somebody in the control room forgot to turn off their mics. So they're talking while the main camera's on, one of the media guys talking, and it was somebody just wasn't doing their job. But at any rate... The bat that I saw about a month or so ago that was in the house, it seemed as though the bottom or the underside of the wing was lighter, almost a white, and then the top was a black or a brown.
Okay.
Is that any particular species, or am I seeing things?
It may be either the the little brown bat or the big brown bat. I would have to look at size and also its fur. The little brown bat is a little bit poofier, and the big brown bat looks like a cowlick. Looks like somebody. And it has a more of a, I guess you could say, it looks like a greasy appearance. But those are the two most common species you'll see inside a house. And they are one of the few species that will be up here in Ohio year-round versus a lot of our other bats will either migrate to southern Ohio or even down to Texas, Mexico, places like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, bat boxes, people put up bat boxes.
Yeah.
They can survive a real cold winter in a bat box?
Oh, yeah. So because they do that hibernational state. So, and then plus they, you know, because they all are huddled together and it's a tight space, so of course, you know, they're help conserving heat.
So body heat and everything.
I've had a bat house. I've got a bat house in my barnyard. It's been there for years. So I decided to take a ladder and look up underneath it to see if there were any bats in there. Well, there weren't any bats, but there are a lot of wasps.
Oh, I bet. I bet.
Wow. Yeah.
The amazing
thing, though, this bat, it was like it was talking. It was saying, Robin, Robin.
Robin.
Oh, yes, yes.
Batman,
I'm sure.
Robin.
Yeah.
Anyways, hey, have a good show.
Okay, thank you. Right.
Thank you, Terry. Right.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. But we've not had, at our house, bats like we used to. I mean, every year we had maybe three. And I've got a bug catcher that I've had for my...
Oh, yeah.
I bought it a long time ago, and my mother made the netting for it. And I used to use it when I was farm director to go out and sweep alfalfa fields and corn and everything to find out what bugs are out there.
Okay.
And anyhow, it's a handy... But I use it lately, in the last few years, to catch bats in the house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would work well.
Yeah. If you turn on the porch light, though, and leave the door open, the bat will fly out.
Oh, yeah. I always tell people if a bat gets in your house, if you can, open up windows, and then if you have to, put up sheets or large blankets, and basically condense it down to one room, and then just corral it out, and like you said, it'll eventually fly out.
And they won't make a nest in your hair.
No, that's just an old myth.
Isn't it? And I don't think they wouldn't purposely bite you, would they?
Oh,
Unless you handled it.
Yeah, if you grabbed it or what, then yeah, it'll bite you. But no, I mean, it's not going to swoop down and just bite you on purpose.
Okay, would they pass along anything? Yes.
Rabies is a big one.
Okay.
There's canine distemper. And then, of course, their poop guano. Or scout is guano. Yeah. So they do carry some diseases.
Okay.
I guess there was a woman here in Marion that got bit by a bat, but she didn't get the bat. It flew away, so she had to go to the CDC, and they had to put her in quarantine for so long.
Yeah.
And because, you know, they had to make sure she didn't have rabies, and of course she didn't. But, I guess if you don't get the bat or the animal that bites you, then, they'll put you in quarantine.
Wow. That's
scary.
That certainly is.
Yeah.
Oh, my land. Yeah. And so, like they say in radio, moving right along. Okay, the bats and, there's so many birds out there, though.
Yeah, a lot of our summer residents are out there.
There's a lady, there's a young lady that takes pictures.
Yep, Amy Holloway, she's one of our good friends and local photographers. A lot of indigo buntings out there lately.
Uh-huh.
Right at the trailhead and out into Cliff, we have several males that are claiming territories.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
And right now it's about breeding season, so all the males are fighting each other.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, too. Morning doves, or turtle doves, as most people call them, they sound so gentle and coo, you know. But they're not at all.
No.
They're feisty with one another.
They can be, yeah.
Yeah. But you can see all this on the Tall Grass Trail, that's for sure.
That's right.
So, you've got so many programs now.
Oh,
more than you've ever had before. Emily is working out all right.
Oh, she's doing wonderful. So she's not here today because she's out on vacation. She's down somewhere in Florida.
Oh, okay.
But she'll be back at the end of the week, and then she'll be with us. But, yeah, she's been wonderful. She's really great to have around.
That's good because... you need to have a lot of programs, and little kids just eat this stuff up.
Oh, they do. We've been having a lot of great attendance with a lot of our programs this summer.
That's good to hear. The Tallgrass Trail in the Marion County Parks District is really come to being. I mean, it's advanced so much here in the last year or so, from programs and content. The Tallgrass Trail not only is a paved bicycle trail, but it is also the host of many species of wildlife.
Oh, yeah.
Insects, whatever.
That's right. And then at the lake, you can go fishing, canoeing, and kayaking.
Oh, that's
right. A lot of fun recreational opportunities at the Marion Tallgrass Trail.
Are many people using those boards you stand on?
Oh, the paddle boards?
Yeah.
I haven't seen one this year, but last year I saw a couple.
Okay. Are many out there in the plastic canoes? What are they called?
Oh, the kayaks?
Yeah,
we have a lot of kayakers.
Okay. And there's plenty of room.
Oh, yeah, 53 acres.
Yeah, that's a long way, yeah. Okay. But now fishing, too.
Yeah.
Are there many people that come out there and fish?
Oh, all the time.
Now, if you wanted to fish all night, when does the park close?
Just at from dusk to dawn.
Okay.
So that will, vary from season to season.
All right. So you don't fish all night out there?
No.
I used to fish all night on Bay Bridge up at Lake Erie.
Okay.
That was fun. Never caught much, though.
Okay.
But, what are some of the samples that you've seen a fish out of the quarry lake? Or not the quarry lake, but...
The Marion Community Foundation Lake.
Correct.
Yep. We found white black crappies, small largemouth bass, channel cats, yellow-belly catfish, coarse carp, and then your typical sunfish, bluegill, green sunfish,
carp,
all those.
Carp. Oh.
I know. Carp are everywhere.
Oh, they multiply, too.
Yep, they do.
And they just make a mess out of things. They stir up the mud.
Yes. Yes, they do.
Oh, boy. But where do they come from? They don't come walking from somewhere, I'm sure.
Either people release them or, with all this flooding we've had, they're in one area, and then, of course, they're transfer over.
That could be. And I was interested in that note on Facebook about the great blue herons.
Yes, and the great egrets were taking advantage there on LaRue Prospect Road.
Yeah.
Because all the fish, they were getting over and they got stuck on the road. So, of course, that was a buffet for all the herons.
Oh, my.
Yeah. That was a fabulous picture that Bob Turner got.
Yeah, that whole area out there, from the Big Island Wildlife Area, which a lot of us have known for so many years, to the Marion County Park District, and going side by side now.
Yeah, we've partnered with them a lot, a lot of things.
Wow, that's great. And so programs galore. What are some of the most interesting types of programs that people love?
Probably our night hikes. Those are always very popular. We do a lot of nighttime experiments.
Oh, really? And then our what do you find at night?
Well, we do experiments with the eyes. We do a bat moth program. We call in nocturnal creatures.
How do you do that?
Just a boombox player.
Or
a little box call. We call in owls.
Yeah.
And then I do a special experiment in the mouth with a piece of candy. So. Triboluminescence. It's a really great time.
Interesting.
Our preschool program has been phenomenal. On average, we've done about 8 or 10 in the past. Well, our first one 2 weeks ago, we had about 25 kids. Last week, we had about 18 kids. So who knows about tomorrow, about how many kids we'll get.
Isn't that great? Yeah. Now, you keep track of all this. Do you submit this information to... whoever?
Well, I write a naturalist report for every month, so of course I give that to my park board, and then if any of the county commissioners or judges or it's open to the public,
right.
If anybody wants to see what is the Marion County Park District doing, they can pull up the report and say, wow, that's what you guys are doing quite a bit.
That's good to hear, yeah. I was wondering, too, when we were talking about bats earlier, what if suddenly the Indiana bats were all gone? What would that do?
Nothing? It would probably hurt our ecosystem a little bit because, every animal has a purpose, has a niche. Of course, our mosquito population would definitely boom, a lot of our insect populations.
Oh, yes.
What
about all this water in the fields?
Oh, yeah.
Well, of course, some of these fields that were treated, maybe with a weed killer or whatever, it might, maybe it poisons the mosquitoes.
It might have.
Oh, my land. But we've got the reservoir out there for the habitat for mosquitoes. Oh, my land.
Oh, yeah. All they need is less than an inch of water, and
that's
all they need just to breed and hatch out of the water.
Wonder how long does it take? Now, what does a mosquito lay in the water to become another mosquito?
So the females, once she's fertilized, she'll lay her eggs into the water.
What are the eggs like?
They're really, really tiny. They look like little bubbles, basically.
Okay.
So they'll stay in there for a little bit, and then they'll hatch, and they'll look like, a lot of kids say, looks like tadpoles. Well, they're not tadpoles.
Right.
And then they'll form a little pupa stage, and then they'll hatch out and become adults.
How many days does that take?
I think it's about a week, or a little more than a week. So not very long.
Now, if you have an old tire lying around the house,
yep,
full of water,
yep,
that's not good.
That's a good place for mosquito breeding grounds.
Okay.
And you know, it's funny, we always yell at the females, mosquitoes, for all the blood sucking and all that. But the male mosquitoes, they're very important because they actually help pollinate a lot of our flowers.
No kidding.
Especially a lot of our orchid species.
Oh.
So I guess we better be thankful for the male mosquitoes.
I never heard that. Yeah. Isn't that great? I've got growing right now about 4.5 feet tall. Bee balm.
Oh, bee balm, yeah.
It's about ready to burst into bloom.
Oh, is it?
Oh, I can hardly wait.
Oh, yeah, and the milkweed, they're blooming right now.
Yeah. Oh, I've got 11 milkweed plants.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Awesome.
I purposely spread the seeds.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. There's milkweed probably growing all over the Clarendon area because of me.
Awesome. any caterpillars yet?
No.
No, not yet.
Now, when should I start looking for them?
So, you should probably begin, I would say, in August, about mid to late August.
All right.
And always look under the leaf, because then if you see like a little yellowish-green little dot, that's the egg.
Ah, okay. Now, beside the regular standard milkweed, is there a Joe Pye weed?
Yes. Now that's separate. That's another species.
Not related?
No, not related.
Okay.
But the milkweed, there's swamp milkweed. There's a butterfly weed, which is also in the milkweed family. Those are also great for monarchs.
Okay, so monarchs utilize them too.
Yes.
Okay.
Scott, do you know what my favorite meal is?
No, Charlie. What is it?
A BLF.
What's a BLF?
Bacon, lettuce, and fruitcake sandwich. Good.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
/180/111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
/150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again with James Anderson, the guy who knows all about everything outdoors, and a man that you can have your kids and yourself and anybody in your family really talk with him. You'll learn a lot. That's what we're trying to do today, too, trying to bring up some things that maybe you didn't know. There are a couple of things people don't know out there.
Yeah.
Oh, and here's a caller. All right, caller, go ahead.
Yes, I can't remember if we talked about this before, but the marmorated stink bug.
Yeah.
Brown. Now, let's see. 7 years ago, they were really unbelievable, and from 2012, 13, 14, they were really pretty bad. Since then, is there some kind of bug that's eating them? And there, I haven't noticed that many.
No, not. There's really no natural predators for those stink bugs. It's just like anything. It's reaching what's called its carrying capacity. So it's probably basically eating itself out. And then the population will go down, and then next thing you know, like you mentioned, Terry, then the next there'll be a big boom of those stink bugs. So it always fluctuates. So and also weather, you know, we've had a few cold winters, so that's killed a few, but not all of them, unfortunately.
Yeah, most of them they roost. From what I understand, they roost in people's roofs.
Yes, yes.
And all that warm air that rises from inside the house. So
yeah,
but it. Well, at least it's nice while it's lasting anyway.
Yeah. And yeah, they're one of the few insects that can overwinter as adults, versus most insects will either stay in a cocoon or chrysalis or put the egg in the ground. So ladybugs are also those other ones, or not the ladybugs, but we call the ladybugs, the ones that bite and smell. They'll overwinter as adults.
Oh, the beetle, those Chinese beetles, yes. Or something or other?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
And another, I've got an in-ground pool that's been neglected, and I've been trying to get filled in.
Okay.
And water. Are all of these tadpoles from tree frogs?
Most of them, yes.
It's amazing.
Oh,
I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds of those things.
Oh, yeah.
It's just unreal. So they're cooking in the sun now. I drained as much water out as I can.
Oh, okay.
I think the birds are eating them and everything else. So
yeah. They're good to have around. They eat a lot of bugs.
Well, same way with bats.
Yes.
They eat a lot of bugs.
Yep, eat a lot of
bugs. Birds, bats, and everything. So.
Yep.
Okay, good show.
All right, thank you, Terry.
Yes. Okay, let's see, what else is prominent, right? Well,
hummingbirds.
Oh, yes. We've got them at our house.
Yeah.
Right on schedule, they were.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that a little bit today.
Go
just
ahead,
about some attraction tips.
Before you do that, on the first day of summer, I harvested, or my wife did, 2 fully ripened tomatoes from my tomato plant.
Really?
They were kind of on there when I planted it.
Okay.
It's small.
Okay.
But boy, they grew and ripened, and now they're growing more tomatoes. So
awesome.
But in my physical condition now, I just have to let this stuff ride. And hopefully the animals won't get my tomatoes. Oh, my cucumbers. James, my cucumbers are growing up the side of the house.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my. And, you know, considering in the grocery stores, the price of them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to become a millionaire.
Yeah, you could be. You could be.
Yeah, I set up a roadside stand. Charlie's Kooks. Oh, boy. Okay. Continuing on. So, people, it's nice to see, though, that so many Marion residents and people from all over Central Ohio like to come to the Tallgrass Trail because there's something they can gain.
That's right.
Education in a nice way, a nice, easy way.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you've got a preschool kids right now, what are you going to be offering them?
So every Friday we do a different theme. So we pick a different activities, games, things like that. Like tomorrow we're going to talk about skunks.
Oh, really?
Yep. Last Friday we talked about butterflies, and the week before we talked about caterpillars.
Well, that's nice because those kids will grow up knowing something that a lot of their friends don't know.
Yeah, well, that's what we're hoping. And
yeah.
And I always want to do skunks because skunks always get a bad reputation. Yeah. And I just want to teach the kids. So, you know, yes, they can be harmful, can be dangerous, but, you know, they are important. They are here for a reason.
Yeah, what's the reason?
Well, a big thing is, like Terry called in and everything, but basically help control a lot of our insect population.
Well, that's right. Yeah, sure.
Also, too, they help break down logs a lot quicker than
really?
Than most decomposers will. Because a tree, it may take 50, 100 years, but if a skunk comes by to tear up the log to find food, it may only take 20, 30 years.
Wow.
So they help speed up decomposition.
Okay, that's a part of part of the great outdoors I hadn't even thought of. The fact that animals can, with their claws, can do that.
Yep, bears are the same way.
No kidding.
Yep, yep. Wow. Help speed up the process.
Yeah, yeah, and of course, you tell all the young people what we have around here, and what we don't have, like what we don't have would be big black bears.
That's right.
At least now.
Yeah, and Marion, now Eastern Ohio, that different story.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, they're back.
Okay. Now, why don't we have black bears in Marion County?
They're slowly creeping over here, but a big thing is habitat. It's just, you know, we are primarily an agricultural county.
Yes.
We're not like Hocking Hills or Mohegan. We're not a very forested county. If we were like those areas, that would be a really good habitat. And like I said, I think one day we might have bears, but it's not going to be like Smoky Mountains. Right. They're not going to be everywhere. I would say we would have less than 10 or so. And mainly, I would predict around some parts of Big Island and some parts of Killdeer Plains Wildlife Area would be really adequate habitat for American black bears.
Interesting.
Now, bobcats, on the other hand,
They're growing, yeah.
Yeah, they're in Crawford and Morrow County, and they already could be in Marion, but they're not documented yet.
Okay, you're waiting for document. Well,
that's right.
Maybe the tall grass trail.
Your area will probably find them first.
Yeah, great.
So I always tell people, I always get people said they've seen bobcats in Marion. I said, well, don't tell me. Tell the Ohio Division Wildlife. Right. They're the ones who want to know.
How would you, a bobcat's a little larger than a standard cat.
Yes.
But just sighting them, what would you notice as being different?
Size would be the big thing. Of course, they're going to have within their name that short bobby tail. And then they're going to have a little bit of white right on each ear. Looks like little commas.
Oh.
Most of your cats, wild cats, have white behind their ears. Yeah, like the lynx.
Okay.
And they'll have like a tiny little tuft on the tip of their ears.
Yeah.
But that would be a big characteristics of bobcat.
And their tail is what, 3 or 4 inches long or shorter?
No, shorter. It's about inch and a half or so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A house cat's tail is a lot longer than a bobcat's tail.
Yeah. So that's why they're called bob.
Yep.
From the short bob tail.
Yeah, from the short bobby tail.
Yeah. Okay. But now, if they were encountered by anyone, would they be harmful?
No. I mean, the only time if you were to corner it, or if it was a female with kittens, of course she's going to want to attack you. But as long as you give them your distance and space, then they are going to give you your space as well. Now, yes, because they are a predator, they are going to probably prey upon poultry, young lambs.
And things, little cats.
And small cats and dogs. So please keep in mind, they are a predator.
Okay. So they've got to eat.
Yeah, that's right. They do got to eat, yes. Yeah.
Now, I remember hearing about a bobcat over in the Mount Vernon area, but that was years ago, so I suppose they're spreading since that time.
There's some in Knox County, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
More on the eastern end of the county. Again, more closer to... But like I said, before too long, I think we'll have them here in Marion, so I'm really excited.
Yes, right.
Pterodactyls, that would be a really good habitat bobcats.
Yeah, pterodactyls. Now, it's been flooded lately.
Oh, goodness, it has.
Oh, my land. I wonder what the floodwaters have done to it.
Oh, it's actually eroded a lot of our the trail.
Really?
So we just had our friends meeting last night. We're going to have Dick Cooper and us. We're going to have to come in, and we're going to have to redesign Pterodactyls Trail because the river has just been eroding and eroding.
Yeah.
The trail that's hugging the Olentangy.
Interesting, yeah. I remember I canoed down through there years ago. It was so clogged up with stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, luckily with all the flooding, it has moved.
Oh, that's right. It would. Yeah. Yeah, good. Okay, so... do you ever see anybody canoeing in Marion County in the streams?
I have not. Just tall grass trail.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. And now bicycling, tall grass trail originally was thought of as a bike trail only. Of course, no bike trails are bike trails only.
Yeah.
But how about the bicycle population? Is it growing?
Oh, yes. It's phenomenal. Because since it's 12.4 miles long one way, I mean, it provides a challenge for a lot of people. Because like when I first started, the trail was only about 3.5 miles. So run a lot of bikers.
Yeah.
But a lot of walkers.
Oh, sure.
But as we kept expanding and expanding year after year, more bicyclists and more bicyclists. And now I think I see more bikers than hikers.
No kidding. Are there any rollerbladers?
Yeah, I've seen a few.
Really?
I've seen, not a lot, but I've seen a couple.
I was wondering, I thought that kind of seemed like it faded away, but maybe it didn't. Maybe I just wasn't around to see it.
I haven't seen one in a couple years.
Oh, okay.
So it's not very popular, but there are some people that will do it.
Yeah, in rollerblading, you don't want leaves on the trail.
Oh, yeah. Then I highly recommend don't come during the fall season.
Oh, my. Yeah. Now, I understand there is one person that has a blower.
We actually have the blower. It's just attach it to their bike.
No kidding.
And then they blow it down.
Isn't
so
that neat?
Yeah, yeah.
They blow half of the time?
Yeah, or sometimes they've gone almost all the way down, almost.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
We're really blessed to have great volunteers.
Oh, yes. People that get enthused about something we have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the time is 10:58 and a half. My land, time is going. But James, of course, will be with us till noon today. And if you have any questions, dial us up. James has the answers. And he'll tell you, too, about a lot more things going on at the Tall Grass Trail. You've got a whole list, well, for next month, too.
Yeah.
It's coming up next.
Couple more days.
The fair starts next week.
Yeah.
Good grief.
Time flies fast when you're having fun, Charlie.
Oh, my land. Yeah, I guess so. And, boy, I can remember the Marion County Fair for so many years going there. In fact, James, my first job in radio was as an engineer. And in that position, I had to erect our tent. Well, I didn't have to put up our tent, but the radio station broadcast from a huge tent.
Okay.
We seated 90-some people every day.
Okay.
And we had programs all through the day.
Awesome.
We gave away groceries and had contests of all kinds.
Really?
We even had a control room. I had to install this control room the chief engineer built. Then we had a dressing room. And it went on and on. This was year after year at all the surrounding fairs, too.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know, when I think back about it, it's really kind of neat having to do that.
Yeah. Well, I wish I got to see you. I probably wasn't alive back then.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to break here, and we'll be back here shortly. So don't leave us. James Anderson, our guest today.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for politics. The only local Marion news coverage from the Republican National Convention. With conservative icon Phyllis Schlafly.
This is Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio at the Quicken Loans Arena. And we are joined by a conservative icon, Mrs. Phyllis Schlafly. Phyllis, how many conventions have you been to?
Well, I came to my first one in 1952, so you can count them up.